you here this morning as we come to worship God in spirit and in truth. This morning we're going to deal with a topic that we all have to deal with, a topic that we probably seldom think about. I'm going to begin by illustrating the idea. Remember back years ago, those of us that are older, playing tug of war? You played tug of war usually at a picnic or something like that. Today we're going to talk about a tug of war, but I'm not going to pull out a rope and we're not going to get on two sides. The tug of war is done individually. It's a tug of war that we face each and every day. And it's a battle for our priority. We might have the right priority today, but Satan will be tugging at our mind to change that priority. So literally, it's a daily tug of war on keeping the right priority. I would assume you won this morning because you're here. You could have chosen, though that wouldn't have been a good choice, you could have chosen to be sitting along the beach. Could have chosen to have done a whole host of other things. But you understand that it's important for Christians to be together. It's the Lord's Day. We commune with the Lord. And you chose to be here. And that's great. You won that battle. You see, it doesn't stop at one thing now, does it? There's constantly a tug of war in our mind as to what I am going to keep as my priority. And we're going to look at some of these things today because, let's face it, when we talk about tug of war and priority, the passage that was first used in our Bible class this morning, I thought, what in the world's going on here? And 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. I like that last phrase, abides forever. But there's a qualification there, doing the will of God. But to do the will of God, I've got to keep the will of God as my priority. So remember I said a tug of war? Here's the tug of war that we face within our mindset each and every day. We've got the word on one side, meaning God's word. And we've got the world on the other side. There's the tug of war. Following what the word has to say or being influenced by the world and do what the world says. And that's a tug of war that we can win constantly, but it's a constant battle. It's not a one-shot only deal. I wish it were that simple, but it's a constant battle of this tug of war. So let's talk about how the world and the ways of the world can lead us to lose. And of course, none of us want to lose because we want to have, as that last point says, does the will of God abideth forever? Let's go on the first one. I made the statement, if the world and the riches of this world becomes one's priority. Now understand, I didn't say it is right now, but if it becomes one's priority, before I go on to that and give you the passage, have you known of those in times past who had obeyed the truth, but now they're in the world? The world has become their priority. Is that just babes in Christ? No. That can be any one of us, can it not? I've even known of preachers, and not them, that makes them no better than anybody else, but those who should have known better that have gone back into the world. But if the riches of this world becomes my priority or your priority, tug of war, don't let that be. But if it does, here's the warning. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. And 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. But those who desire to be rich, I want to stop right there. Didn't say they were rich. Those who desire to be rich. Those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men to destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root, and I like the New King James better. The King James says it's the root of all evil, and we know that's not true because there's other evils. But the New King James says, for the love of money is the root of all kinds. Now, I realize the word kinds is in italics, meaning that it's not in the original Greek. But all kinds of evil. For while some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. The physical riches of life, the monetary gain. The problem is this. Do you need money to live? Yes. You're going to be hard-pressed if you don't have it, correct? But the problem that we have to deal with, does money and the things that money can buy become our priority? And thus we drop the service to God, second, third, fourth, fifth, who knows what number. But the priority becomes materialism and money. Well, then we're subject to what is warned in 1 Timothy chapter 6, that it's going to really produce greediness and pierce themselves with sorrow. Let me give you an illustration. Sometimes in families, when a family member who is quite wealthy passes away, there's not a very wholesome division of the properties. Why? Because of a love for money, a love for material things. Isn't that the problem? How sad that is. And I'm not just talking of those of the world. I've seen this happen in the church where some wealthy member of the Lord's church passed away and they all appear to be faithful Christians, but lo and behold, it's like civil war came to being afterwards because this one got this, this got that, I didn't get enough. And again, what it shows is that they have that such an intense desire for that financial gain. Bottom line, and I don't know if I'm in any of your wills, I wouldn't think so, but honestly, I don't really care. Because if I got any money from anybody, I count it a bonus. Because I didn't deserve any of it. It was just something that was getting. So even with families, it's not something that, it's not owed to me. So again, that's one example. We can go beyond many other examples. But the point is, let's face it, has materialism caused a lot of sorrow? Has the desire for physical riches caused a lot of sorrow? Now, on the other side of the coin, it's not saying you're godly because you're poor. Sometimes people are poor because they're lazy. Sometimes people are poor by no effect of themselves. But the point is, we are a society which elevates money. I tease my friend because he's in Illinois and he's extremely wealthy. And I always said, have you bought your gold lately? And he goes so nuts on that because he's totally against buying gold. He said, the only gold I have are in my teeth. Well, I don't want your teeth. And I don't even know if they use gold anymore to fill teeth. Probably not. But you get my point, do you not? So here you as a Christian, it's not that, hey, I can't have any money, because if that's the case, all of us need to come forward this morning. It's the attitude that we have towards it. Money and materialism is not a cure-all, but if we're not careful, it's going to tug us the wrong way, lead us to the wrong decision. But let's go to another one. If the world and the riches of this world becomes one's priority, spiritual development is hindered. Turn with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 8 and verse 14. And Luke chapter 8 and verse 14, the parable of the sower, the third ground. As in Luke's account we have recorded, now the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with the cares, riches, and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity. Okay, does God want a child of God to bring fruit to maturity? And that's for all of us, does he not? Is it a possibility sometimes we don't bring fruit to maturity because of the cares, riches, and pleasures of this life? Now again, We're going to talk about cares of this life. I'm thinking maybe the first Sunday in December as we talk about anxiety, but that's a few weeks away. But we all have cares. We've got to not allow those cares to overcome our being and hinder our spiritual relationship, correct? And of course, riches. Here we have riches again, and pleasures. Now, there's nothing wrong with certain pleasures. Not all pleasure is evil, because it's not. Supposing that you take a week's vacation in the middle of January because you love snow so much, you go up to Illinois, Chicago. That's a nice temporary pleasure. Now, I can't get my wife to go up there anymore, but that would be nice for me because I miss the snow. I love everything down here, but I want snow. And we're not going to get snow. And don't come, and my son's already frowning at me. But that would be a pleasure for me to go up north, to feel that cold weather hitting my face to the point that it stings. Then I know, hey, I'm in a different climate. But it's temporary. So now your pleasure might be totally opposite. Hey, my pleasure is not going to Chicago. It's going to Hawaii. That's right. And neither one of those things are wrong, both being pleasures. Neither one are wrong unless that's what I live my life for. Right? Unless that becomes that priority of my life. Someone says, Chuck, you and your wife Susan need to go on a cruise boat. Absolutely not. I love to eat so much. What I'm told, you go on the cruise, you can eat indefinitely. I wouldn't want to weigh myself when I got off that cruise. I might have to come forward for gluttony. Now, I'm not saying you can't go on a cruise, but that's a pleasure for some people like to go on cruises. Now, if you decide, and they've got some of these cruises that you can do for a year now, I don't know what you pay for that. It's got to be an enormous amount of money. But you've gone too far. Because my first question to you, how's it doing in your local work that you're part of the church of? Not that you can't get away, but you're going to be away for a year? So you can go to this port and that port and this port and that port. You see, so going on a cruise ship is not evil unless it becomes your priority. Taking a trip is not evil unless that becomes your priority. Dealing with problems of this life is not evil because you have to deal with them, but that can't become your priority. And you see, you got that struggle in your brain. Which way are you going? You got to be careful there. If acceptance by this world becomes one's priority, we've got a problem. And here's the big one. Many of us, I won't say all of us, many of us like to be accepted. Some of us have come to the point, no, I'm just concerned about God. And really, that's how it should be. But let's face it, we live in a society from childhood up that we want to feel wanted. I look at myself when I was a young boy, and in the summer we played baseball. That's all we did in the days, is play baseball all day in the summer at the local park. And as a young boy, I never wanted to be picked last. You know, you'd have 11 boys, 12 boys standing out, and you'd have two of them picking. And I didn't want my name to be on the bottom of that list. That bummed me out if I was that. Because that shows me that I was not in the acceptance group when it comes to playing baseball. Now, fortunately, I wasn't in the bottom. Unfortunately, I was never at the top. So I'm mediocre. But mediocre is better than being on the bottom. And I think we're like that in life. In life, we want to be a Christian, and we want to do what's right. But like one person told me one time, Chuck, I don't want to be a religious fanatic. What are you talking about? You don't want to be a religious fanatic. In other words, I want to blend in. Well, sometimes blending in is not bad, but sometimes it's very bad. Sometimes it's very bad because blending in leads you to doing those things that God didn't want you to do. I'll give you some illustrations about this and some warnings on this as we look at this. Remember John chapter 12, verses 42, and this is a battle we have to face within. In John chapter 12, in verses 42 and 43. You know, I think we don't understand that when we go through these battles, it starts in the mind. And we lose the battle in the mind. And then we make the wrong actions. You know, my son in high school wrestled. He would have wrestled in college, but he decided to go to a different course. My grandson is now wrestling, and he's working with the high school. And both my son teaches him wise things. I just teach him what's your weight, because I don't want to have him lose too much weight. And then I always tell him, keep your mind straight. Because I think really that's part of the battle. Your mind, if you go in there thinking you're going to be defeated, you might as well just tell them, I lost. You can't do that. You've got to have a mindset, this is what I'm going to do. You've got a picture in your brain what you're going to do. So when I say on the mindset, we jeopardize our relationship with God when our mindset is to fit in. And John chapter 12, verses 42 and 43, we have recorded for us here. Nevertheless, among the rulers, many believed. I want to stop. Did they believe in Jesus? That's what it says, right? Okay, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. Now, why did they do that? Look at the next verse. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. You see the mindset here? They understood and believed what was taught about Jesus, but in doing that, it would put them at odds with the Pharisees and with the leadership, and they decided it would be better for me to have praise of men. Who do you seek praise from? And by the way, this is not just for young people. This is older people also. I illustrate it this way. You know, I'm not trying to be snobbish in the community wherein I live. But I don't participate in hardly anything that the community does, because oftentimes it includes alcohol. And I want no part of that. So why is that? Am I trying to think I'm better? No, I'm not trying to think I'm better than anybody. I don't want to be put in that situation. And therefore, they know me by seeing my big body and the hat I wear when I walk the community. But they don't see me in any. So in fact, they stopped inviting us. I think likewise with Sue, they stopped inviting us to the social events, because they know what our answer is going to be. The answer is going to be no, because there's more of a loss than a benefit in something like that, in my mind. I'm not looking for praise about that, but see, if you want to be liked by everybody, you try to appease them, and you can't appease everybody. This happens in high school, does it not? When parents want their child, if they go to a public school, to be the most popular. No, you don't want your child to be the most popular in school. Trust me when I tell you that. It reminds me of an illustration I gave many years ago. It was talking about a father and his son and a camel. So this is over in the Middle East. And the father and his son and the camel were walking through this town. And people were ridiculing them. Why are those two walking with nobody on the mule's back? Someone should ride on the mule. So to appease the crowd, because now they heard this, hey, so they put the son on the mule. They walked further in the community, in the town, and someone said, well, yeah, look at, the son's on the mule. Why is he on the mule? The father should be, for respect, the father should be on the mule. Well, they heard that, and they wanted to appease the crowd. Son, get off the mule, and put camel, put the father on the camel. Going further downtown, so now the father's on the camel. And those people say, man, that poor camel, having to hold that weight of that elderly man who's on the camel. So, okay, they started out walking with the camel with nothing on, nobody on him. Then the son, that didn't appease everybody. Then the father, that didn't appease anybody. So finally it concludes, the father and son are carrying the mule on their shoulder, the camel on. And they said, how foolish is that? You see, that's what happens. That's what happens when you try to please everybody. Because let me tell you a little story. You can't. Much better off to try to please God. Let's go to James chapter 4 and verse 4. in James chapter 4, in verse 4, we have recorded for us, "Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world will make himself an enemy of God." Now, that doesn't mean I leave this building attempting to make people upset with me. That'd be dumb. But it also means that when I leave this building, as Bob brought up in class, I live by a different standard. I'm going to be having a different, and the standard is not going to be in harmony with the world. But nevertheless, I'm going to live by that different standard. And therefore, you're going to have some ridicule. I've got to choose. Daily, I've got to choose. All of us, and no matter what age you are, all of us are put in that situation. What have you ever been asked, what do you think of homosexuality? I've been asked that question a number of times, point blank. Well, we know what society wants us to say, don't we? We know what the Bible says, do we not? Now the question is, how are you going to answer that? Well, if you want to follow God's word, you're going to follow the Bible. You're not going to use bad terms against those who practice such, but you're going to show them clearly from Romans chapter 1, from Jude, from the Old Testament, Sodom and Gomorrah. Say, this is why I believe what I believe. But a lot of Christians say, well, you know, I don't get into stuff like that. You've compromised. I don't get into stuff like that. Well, let me ask you this. What if someone comes to you and says, you know, I believe I'm saved by accepting Jesus as my personal Savior? You say, well, that's just your opinion. Well, it's not just, being saved is not an opinion. It's given to us clearly in book, chapter, and verse, does it not? And that's it. See, you got to be careful. You say, I don't compromise with the world. Are you sure you don't compromise with the world? When you're involved, and I'm not saying you look to kind of upset people, but that gives you the opportunity to get them to possibly think. Now, you've got to be careful how you go about it. Oh, by the way, last point on that. Never, ever apologize for the truth. God's word is truth. When you give them the truth and they sometimes get upset with you, that's there because you don't fit into the world. You don't fit in the world. I know, and I've said this before, on the Fox Channel and other places, Billy Graham's son is on the TV regularly telling you how to be saved. Trouble is, he fails miserably. I would tell him to that if he was sitting here this morning. I'd be happy if he was sitting here this morning. But he fails miserably. You don't pray the prayer what he prays to be saved. It is not in the Bible. You have to repent and be baptized for remission of your sins. Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 8, Romans chapter 6, Galatians chapter 3, and every case of conversion. There's no single passage I find that prayed the prayer that he prayed. You say, you shouldn't mention Billy Graham. Well, I mentioned Billy Graham and his son because they teach a doctrine that people accept. Society accepts that. But that's not what God's word accepts. So I've got to determine, am I going to please God? Am I going to please man? I'm going to live in harmony with God's will, or I'm going to live in harmony with what man tells me to will. We talked about marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Simple pattern. But God has a very simple pattern. Society has abandoned that pattern. Am I going to stand by the pattern of God? Or am I going to compromise and say, well, I want to fit in, so yeah, that's just how I believe. It just upsets me when people say, that's just how I believe. As if we've got different standards of faith. How many standards of faith are there? One. And that's in the Word of God. So it really doesn't matter what you believe if it's not in harmony with the will of God. Right? And that's going to cause difficulty. So I got the priority in my mind. Am I wanting to please men? Am I wanting to please God? But let's move on. Sometimes we understand that the priority of focus on materialism can lead us to a self-satisfaction and deceive ourselves. You say, yeah, the world does it all the time. Well, I know you'd mention the world, but what about the church? In Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 through 17, Revelation chapter 3, talking about priority, the tug of war in my mind about what's going to be my priority. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 15, talking about Laodicea, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I love that phrase, because you can't get a more disgusting word to me than vomit. That is, and again, I'm going to illustrate that for you. Those of us that love dogs, what you have to keep them away from? Vomit. They see vomit, they think it's food. Let's lick it up. Oh, that's disgusting. Disgusting. I love dogs, but that's one thing I hate about dogs. God is saying, when you're lukewarm, talking to the Christians at Laodicea, he has to spew you out of him. You're like vomit to him. Then it goes on to state, as we read, because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Could I have you agree with me that this congregation, physically, financially, we're doing pretty good? The trouble is, and by the way, there was nothing wrong with that, except their attitude was wrong, because they were doing pretty good. They didn't feel they had a need for anything. And they were poor, wretched, miserable. You see, what happened, the tug of war was, they went the wrong way. Hey, God's happy with me. Look at all that I have. Well, no, God may not be happy with you, because you're not handling what you have in the right way. You're not understanding. Do you realize, no matter who you are, no matter where you are financially, no matter where you are educationally, no matter where you are in your position, in your job market, in reality, without Christ, you are nothing. That's right. You are nothing. Oh, and so am I. I am nothing. It's all because of Christ that we have what we have spiritually. So if we're blessed with financial gain, if we're blessed with being at peace, thank God. Thank Him daily. Working a lesson on thankfulness next week. But the point is, they had a false sense of security. So the tug rope pulled them, the tugging of the rope pulled them the wrong way. Satan had them in his hands. Oh, by the way, God gives them a stern warning, but let's move on. One's focus of this world will lead to perilous times. And we know the passage there, but let's put it up there. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, let's go to 2 Timothy. Tugging the rope in our minds. 2 Timothy chapter 3. There we have recorded for us here a warning. He goes on to state, but know this, that in last days, perilous times will come. By the way, we understand, I know we've studied this before, last days began on the day of Pentecost. When someone asks you, are we in the last days? Absolutely. Absolutely. We've been in the last days from Acts chapter 2. We'll be in the last days till this world no longer exists. But when it talks about the last days, and when you look verses 2, 3, and 4, I want you to equate it to 2024. In verse 2, for men will be lovers of themselves. True? Yeah. Still have that, don't we? Lovers of money. Yeah, I got that. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Disobedient to parents. Think about that. I don't watch those talk shows anymore. I haven't for years, but years ago I used to watch some of those talk shows, and they'd have silly things on. I'm scared of my child. What? You're scared of your child? How does that happen? Well, because you let them run your life, that's why. I hope I don't embarrass Jake. Jake is much stronger than I could ever be physically. I hate to say that because when he was younger, I told him he's never going to be stronger than me. So I have to retract that. But guess what? I'm not scared of him because he respects authority. He respects his mom. He respects his dad. Even when we differ, I don't have to worry he's going to put me in a headlock. Because he would win. Parents, isn't that the same thing with some of you? When I hear that parents are afraid of their kids, I wonder what happened on the early years. What happened as they were growing up? Why are people... I know I told you this. My wife gets upset. I don't go to malls anymore because malls are a thing of the past. But remember when malls were a big thing? You got some free time. Where you go? You'd walk in the mall. That's what we'd do up there. We're going to walk in the mall. Woodfield Mall. Big mall in Chicago. And most people are respectful in the mall. Except some teenage boys. Not all teenage boys, but some teenage boys. Now, this was a huge mall, and there'd be four or five boys, and they have to walk five abreast. And it was like the parting of the sea when they walked through the mall. And that would upset me to no end, so I'm not going to part me. So I'd walk through them. I wouldn't move. They wouldn't move. We bumped into each other. That's all right. My wife gets so upset with me. Chuck, why are you provoking them? You know, she'd be pulling me to the side. But no, they're not walking through the Red Sea. But you have that disobedient. We need to respect age. Now I have to watch myself. Because sometimes I don't respect age. And I'm not proud of that. Some people are older than me, don't know how to drive. But my wife tells me I don't know how to drive. So I guess that's the pot calling the kettle black. I have to respect that because... Now, again, we've got other things involved. But the point is, disobedient to parents. How sad that is. Ever hear in Timothy about requiting your parents? That's a whole different sermon. But it goes on and tells... Now, it goes down to verse 5. Having the form of godliness, but denying its power, from such people turn away. In other words, they have an outward appearance of godliness, but they have those characteristics that was just said before that. Turn away from such people. They say, but don't do. So I've got this battle inside. Am I going to be like that? Or am I going to be like God? And then finally, lesson's almost yours this morning. Priority, ultimately, if the world and the riches of this world becomes one's priority, if that's your number one priority should be God. We're going to close with that point. But if the world and its riches, if all of the attraction of this world becomes your priority, the worst thing that happens, you lose. A person's soul is at stake. In Matthew chapter 16, now let's be honest. It's not always easy to be a Christian. And I'm not going to tell you it is. You're not always going to get a pat on the back from others because you're a Christian and you stand for what's right. You might even be ridiculed. But that's not what they went through in the first century. They were put to death. We haven't gotten to that point yet. You might have to take a stand when society takes a different stand. But you know what? If you go the way of the world, you lose. Be it known this morning, not everybody wins at the judgment. I don't care what religious people say, that's not true. Because in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26, for what profit is it to a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? I want to ask the question, why would he put that there if you couldn't lose your soul? That'd be foolish, right? If you couldn't lose your soul, why would that be put there? Oh, and by the way, what is the value of a soul in comparison to material things? In comparison to society's acceptance? You know, all of us, I'm working on a lesson on Psalm 23. All of us are going to follow the shadow and valley of death. But you know what? We win. It goes on to say in this passage, or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? There's, you know, our soul was so important. Your specific soul and my soul was so important that deity put on the form of flesh and died a horrible death so that we could have heaven. Wow. So I ask you, what's your priority? I'm not going to go there, but remember Demas, 2 Timothy 4:10. He departed from Paul because of what? He loved this present world. Did he make a bad choice? Yeah. Don't you make a bad choice. Now I think of Bob, and Bob and I have spent a lot of time together eating. We both like that as our hobby. But as I close, I'm going to use a passage he accuses me of using regularly, and he's right. I probably use this passage in every sermon. I think this is as important as John 3:16, and everybody can quote John 3:16. The passage I think that is equally as important is Romans 12, 1 and 2. Let's go to Romans chapter 12 in verses 1 and 2. You got that tug of war in your brain. What's going to be your priority? Verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Okay, that seems simple enough. Now look at verse 2. And do not be conformed, what, to this world? What are we talking about? The Word versus the world, right? Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How do I do that? Go to this book and make this a part of my life. That's how I win the battle and the tug of war. I make these passages my life. Then I win. Then God and His teachings become my priority. And one of the best ways to close is the song we're going to sing in just a moment. I appreciate Joe for doing this. So let's go to Psalms 19. Psalms 19. In a minute, Joe is going to be leading that for us. Verses 7 through 11, talking about the Word of God. The law of the Lord. Notice, he's going to be singing. We're going to be singing with him. I'm not singing now. I'm reading. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous. And look at this word, altogether. Altogether. More to be desired are they than gold. Yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them, God's word, God's teachings, your servant is warned. And in keeping them, there is great reward. Wow. So let me ask you this morning, and this tug of war between the word and the world, who's winning? Who's winning? Are you choosing the Word? Have you been baptized, the remission of your sins? Remember, that's not Church of Christ doctrine. That's the doctrine of Christ. That's found book, chapter, and verse. And if you've been baptized, the remission of your sins, are you remaining faithful? Because you see, this challenge of this priority gnaws at us every single day. Every single day. You can win every single day if you have the right priorities. If any way you're subject to the gospel call, won't you come this morning as we stand and as we sing?